Scientists at Cincinnati Children's have discovered a new connection between gut health and the risk of developing blood cancer. They say their findings, published in the journal Nature, could change how we think about aging and the early stages of leukemia. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me to explain this discovery that he and his colleagues found with an international team of researchers is Daniel Starchinovsky, director of Cincinnati Children's Advanced Leukemia Therapies and Research Center. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Thank you, Lucy, for having me. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Cincinnati Children's is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. So, Dan, your research team has, and I know these are very simplistic terms, found this link between gut health and blood cancer. Tell us a bit about your findings.
Absolutely. So, you ready to sort of dive into aging and gut health and some serious health conditions that we all face later on? And so, our work kind of connected some key findings, connected the dots to help us better understand those links. So, as we age, our blood cells accumulate mutations, about one or two per day, which is striking. And some of those mutations are random, they're harmless, but in some cases, they occur in critical genes that can cause cells to expand. And what we've found and addressed related to this condition called clonal hematopoiesis has a funny name called, CHIP. And this is where these blood cells accumulate mutations, and then there's a pool of these pre-leukemic cells that just hang around. And these are occurring in normal, healthy, elderly individuals as we age, starts even at 40. And these cells can just linger, hang out. Our blood counts are normal, otherwise everything's fine. But having them around isn't harmless. If you have them and they linger, you can get predisposed to leukemias. Obviously, that's very serious. But actually, other really important health conditions.
Let's talk more about CHIP, because you told me earlier you think this could be like the next major health crisis.
Yeah, so CHIP was identified by other groups approximately 10 years ago by chance. Groups were trying to identify mutations in blood cancers and were using healthy, quote-unquote, controls to look at mutations in the healthy aging population, and by chance found that healthy individuals have these mutant blood cells that are lingering around. And so why is this potentially now next major health crisis? Well, if we do simple math, CHIP occurs in about 20% conservatively of 70-year-olds or older.
20%?
20%.
One in five people.
Yeah, and most of them don't know that they have these mutant cells circulating in their blood. And so that's at least 10 million Americans that have CHIP, don't know it, and they're at risk for these real serious health conditions, including leukemia, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune and inflammatory conditions, and a significant increase just in all-cause mortality.
And so these are otherwise very healthy people. They're not, they look and feel good, but they have this kind of hidden condition.
Exactly. They could be running marathons, playing pickleball, doing physical activity. There is no sign, outwardly sign, that these mutant blood cells are just hanging around in our blood system.
And you said this is very common. It's estimated to be very common, one in five people. So what's the risk that those people will develop leukemia or cardiovascular disease or some of these other serious conditions?
Yeah. So the risk for leukemia is approximately a 1% increase. So it's significant, but maybe not overly alarming. But it's the all-cause mortality and the cardiovascular disease where it's a 40% increased risk. So those are serious increases, significant increases in elevated risk for before reasons we didn't know. And now we're starting to connect those dots, linking it, as we will talk about, to our gut.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Where does gut health figure into this? What was the big kind of aha finding with this research?
Yeah, well, it all started off in our laboratory working on models of CHIP. So we have we can model this in mice, and it looks very similar to humans as we age. And we found that in mice, if we introduce these CHIP blood cells, these mutant blood cells, they only expand if we perturbed the gut. We changed the gut health. And if we weakened the integrity of our gut, or we changed the bacteria in what are otherwise healthy mice to ones that look more like aged individuals, that's when we saw that these CHIP cells, these pre-leukemic cells in the blood, started to expand. And then it was years of work trying to figure out why.
And why?
Yeah.
What'd you figure out? Yeah.
So what was already known previously is that as we age, two things happen. Well, many things happen to our gut, but the two important points are the integrity of our gut lining weakens over time, right? So it's a phenomenon called leaky gut.
Does not sound good.
No, it's an unfortunate side effect of as we all grow older. And what happens is that lining of the gut weakens in products. Things can pass between the gut into the bloodstream. So that's one thing that happens. The second thing that happens that's important as we age is the composition of the bacteria in our gut changes over time. And it changes from a really healthy, vibrant, diverse collection of bacteria that are really important. These are important for our health. And they start shifting towards less diverse, less healthy forms of bacteria. And so those two things lead to sort of part of the perfect storm, which is sort of more unhealthy bacteria and a leaky gut.
And why does that change happen? Is that because of what we eat, or is that just nature?
It's probably a little bit of everything. Certainly, we're all aware about the effects our eating habits have and our lifestyle has on our microbiome. And so that's certainly a contributing factor. Natural aging, as we know, even very healthy individuals, we're going to see these types of changes occur over time.
Okay. And these risks, you kind of mentioned this, but I just want to underscore these risks get higher as we age. I mean, when is it really the most serious?
Yeah, really good question. So as I told you before, CHIP is this phenomenon where you have these mutant pre-leukemic cells that are hanging out. And again, that is not harmless and leads to these other major health consequences. And the higher the risk of developing those is tied to the size, the amount of those mutant cells in the blood. So if there's very few and it doesn't change over time, then those individuals are thought to have a much lower risk of ever developing leukemia or these cardiovascular autoimmune conditions. But in an individual where it starts off very small population of these pre-leukemic cells in the blood and it starts expanding over time, that's when the risk really increases. And up until our study, it was really not clear why two individuals with the same starting population of these CHIP mutant blood cells, why in one individual it stays at a very low level and why in another individual it starts to increase and expand and increase the risk of these other ailments.
So what's the culprit?
Great question. So this was the essence of our study. Our team, which is not only at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, but through collaborations of the University of Cincinnati Cancer Center and colleagues in Europe as well, we identified that a sugar produced by these unhealthy bacteria that accumulate as we age, or the ones that we want to kind of suppress. So these age-associated bacteria in our gut are producing a sugar. And this sugar leaks from our gut into our blood. And it is a sugar specific for these pre-leukemic cells. It fuels their growth. And so this is what I was telling you, sort of the perfect storm where you have sort of age-related changes in our gut. It gets leaky. We have this change in the microbiome of bacteria that are now producing more of this sugar. Sugar enters the circulation. If this pre-leukemic cell is there, it senses it. It uses it now to expand and grow.
Okay. Well, I have to admit I get hypersensitive when I hear anything about sugar being bad for me because I love sugar. So this is sugar that bacteria is creating. Does what we eat have an impact on that? If we're feeding our bacteria chocolate chip cookies, is that going to be harmful?
As of now, we don't think there's any link. So you can continue to enjoy your
cookies. Goodness.
Yes.
Okay. This is good news.
Just ordered a box of crumble cookies for the lab.
Okay.
So there's no link.
doctor's orders.
So the sugar, this specific sugar, it's called ADP heptose, is specifically produced by certain bacteria in our gut. And it's produced by the bacteria. And certainly what we eat can influence the growth of those bacteria, which then can produce increased amounts of this ADP heptose.
Okay. Well, we're talking in this recorded interview about a surprising connection that's been discovered between gut health and blood cancer. I wonder, is our gut health generally getting worse? I mean, are younger people, do they have worse gut health than previous generations? Because our diets certainly have changed over time.
Yeah, there's a lot of studies now exploring those questions specifically, and a lot of them are still being reported. But I think the early answers are yes, there's changes in our gut, in our microbiome at an earlier age, more so than it was before, and trying to understand what those changes really mean. Mm-hmm. How do they impact our health and our longevity? That's still not clear, right? Connecting all those dots. So those observations are being made, and there's clear connections between our diet, our lifestyle, our gut health, not only as we age, but as young kids as well.
Yeah. And how does processed food figure into that? You were talking about diet. Is it clear whether all the much more processed food that we eat is having an impact?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk about the importance of high fiber diets and prebiotics and probiotics. And certainly on the other side of the spectrum, the harmful effects of processed food and all of that plays an important factor into the health of our gut. I was going to mention another, you know, I work at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and what we're talking about, CHIP, is largely impacting individuals over 50. But there's many conditions in kids that affect gut health that we see at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. So chronic inflammatory bowel disorders, right? That has devastating effects on gut health and the integrity of the lining of the gut and leaky gut and the microbiome. We have world-class cancer clinics that sees cancer patients from all over the world. And many of them are receiving the best possible treatments today. But those treatments, as good as they are as eliminating the cancer, have consequences on the gut health. Mm-hmm. Chemotherapy is devastating to the gut health. And so now we're starting to think about how these studies are impacting not only CHIP as we age, but other conditions in younger patients that might also cause changes to the gut, changes to the circulation of this sugar, ADP heptose, and how it might impact the health and well-being of these kids.
Let's talk a little bit more about CHIP. How can people find out if they have CHIP? Is there a way to screen for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a simple, relatively simple blood test, draw blood, and the blood cells, the DNA, the genomic blueprint of those cells can be sequenced. And now the cost of that is somewhat trivial. Most academic hospitals have these services, sometimes part of a workup related to other health-related conditions. And usually that's when it's identified. So the tools are there. It's not widely available to the general public, but it's now widely available to the research and academic communities.
So when you go for your annual checkup with your primary care doctor and you get your blood work for cholesterol and all that stuff, does CHIP figure into that?
Not yet, but hopefully in the near future, it will be part of the discussion. And I think we're just really understanding what CHIP means and how it can have broad consequences on lifestyle and longevity and health. And just like cholesterol levels, we want to hopefully intervene as early as possible and know who's at risk and who's not. And if you're not at risk, well, things are going well and there's no intervention needed. But perhaps if you're at an elevated risk, having those conversations with your physician in terms of how to try to course correct.
Yeah. Well, and for people who do have CHIP, if they find out, you know, at one of these hospitals that you're talking about, is there a way to manage it so it doesn't progress and develop into leukemia or some of these other conditions?
Unfortunately, the answer is no right now. Right now, it's more of a monitoring approach, wait and see, continue to monitor these pre-leukemic cells in the blood to see if they are expanding or not. But it's really kind of a wait-and-see approach at this time. There's really no interventions, right? If you have CHIP cells, no one's going to want to take any kind of therapy that is could have other consequences. And so right now, investigators, including our lab, is trying to find ways that we can tackle these and prevent these pre-leukemic cells from expanding in a way that's not going to have sort of detriment to other blood cells, right, to specifically target and suppress their growth.
Sure. You don't want to help CHIP and then cause problems somewhere else. So this can sound pretty scary. I mean, it's this hidden condition that millions of people probably have without knowing it. Should we be worried?
I think as we learn more, from my perspective, and this is my opinion, is I think we need to learn more and really tread cautiously, because what we're finding is the links between CHIP and leukemia. Those make sense, but now it's the relationship of CHIP to cardiovascular disease and understanding the direct link there. That was an eye-opening studies. The link between CHIP and Alzheimer's, the link between CHIP and cause of solid tumors, so unrelated malignancies. So these cells that hang out in our blood aren't harmless and in fact are having systemic effects on many aspects of our well-being and in different organ systems. So it's not just a blood condition, but it's a whole body condition that we want to be thinking about.
Hmm. You mentioned probiotics and prebiotics. There are over-the-counter probiotics and prebiotics that people can take. There are food products and beverages that tout, hey, they're healthy, they've got probiotics, prebiotics, even sodas that have those claims. Are those things actually good for you?
I would caution. I mean, I think there's some of those might oversell their claims. And I'm not saying that they don't work, but in the context of CHIP, there's been no study yet testing the relationship between probiotics, prebiotics, changing that microbiome in a way that prevents these cells from expanding. That's something we're looking into with our collaborative team, is to test clinical grade probiotics and carefully monitor the delivery, the changes, associated changes to the microbiome, and how that might impact this sugar, this ADP heptose that is in the circulation, and the CHIP cells, these pre-leukemic cells. So those studies are all going to be planned and ongoing, and hopefully yield some interesting insight.
And the probiotics and prebiotics you're testing are probably very different from what you get over the counter,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. They're clinical grade. They've been used in clinical settings for other reasons. And so these are very tightly regulated and monitored.
Are there diet or lifestyle changes that could help us stay healthy and avoid the risks associated with CHIP? I mean, I know doctors usually advise getting health benefits from whole foods, you know, avoiding products with added ingredients, that sort of thing.
Yeah, certainly outside of my domain of expertise, and I just try to practice healthy eating habits and Mediterranean diet and fruits and vegetables and high fiber, all the things that we should be doing. So
with just the occasional crumble cookie.
Of course.
Okay, fair enough. You already talked about this a little bit in terms of the children who are treated at Cincinnati Children's, but are there other implications of this research for children? I mean, obviously, you're based at a children's hospital.
Certainly, ones that are primarily on our radar are the ones, any condition related to gut health in the kids. And I've mentioned inflammatory bowel disease, which is the most obvious one. Interestingly, in young adults who have IBD, there are some studies linking to increased risk of CHIP later on. So there's some interesting connections between these. So we're initially looking, exploring that further. And certainly the cancer treatments that kids are given. I sort of alluded to this a little bit earlier. We know those have devastating consequences on the gut. And we want to understand not only how the treatment is causing changes to the gut in unfavorable ways, but how those changes in the gut actually might be impacting the cancer care that they're actually being given. So for the cancer treatment is trying to eliminate these cancer cells, but at the same time, releasing this sugar back into the system and fueling the growth of the cells actually might prevent or diminish the beneficial effects of the treatment. So a lot to learn.
Yeah, very complicated. Could these findings that you and your team came up with, could they eventually lead to a treatment for leukemia or that would prevent leukemia? How far away is something like that?
We're still in the early stages of trying to identify what is the best therapeutic means. And so I think we can look at it in three ways. One is at the gut. Can we change the microbiome in a way that is sufficient to prevent that sugar from circulating? So we're looking at changing our gut, and we talk about probiotics. The second is, can we prevent that sugar from circulating and reaching the pre-leukemic cells? So we're looking at ways to intervene at that second step. And then the third step is, we know the signaling machinery of the pre-leukemic cells and why they uniquely sense this sugar and respond to it and use it as a fuel. So our third approach is now intervening at the stage of the pre-leukemic cells and developing therapies that prevent those pre-leukemic cells from sensing that sugar. And so we can just prevent them from expanding and again leading to overt leukemia later on or some of these other health issues that we
almost
described.
Almost like blindfolding them or giving them earplugs or whatever those little cells use to bacteria use. So what are the next steps with this research? You've talked about some of them, but what are some of your initial next steps?
We have so many questions now. We're actually planning a brainstorming session to prioritize them with the team in the coming weeks. Certainly, some of the things we've already touched upon, which is getting a better understanding of how changing that microbiome, is that enough to reduce that circulating sugar, that ADP heptose? We're trying to develop new drugs. And so this is very early stages where we're trying to develop drugs to that machinery within the pre-leukemic cells. More broadly, we're trying to see what other health conditions are associated with elevated circulating ADP heptose in the blood. And I just want to, I should preface the saying, young, healthy individuals don't have any detectable ADP heptose in our blood.
So none?
None. Not at least that we can detect.
Wow. How young is that?
So we've looked, even healthy 50-year-old, most of them have almost undetectable levels of ADP heptose. Again, these are healthy, presumably haven't received any form of, toxic treatment beforehand. So it's really undetectable until we start reaching, late 50s, 60s, and starts creeping up. So we're kind of trying to look beyond healthy aging and try to identify other groups, young and older, that have elevated ADP heptose and how it might be tied to other health conditions.
Well, this has been fascinating. I've been talking with Daniel Starchanovsky, Director of Cincinnati Children's Advanced Leukemia Therapies and Research Center. Thank you so much for your time today, Dan.
Thank you, Lisa. I had a blast. Thanks
for
having me.
Yeah, it's been terrific. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical directors are Marshall Verbsky and Carlos Lopez-Cornu. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.